Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is a very special episode because we have a very special guest on the show. I mean special in a good way.
About me. I mean, yeah.
Yes, you're a guest now. You're no longer a permanent host. No, we have two podcasters from our what is soon to be our newest show in the Random Chatter Network, Cordcast. Chris, you're here all the time anyway, so I'm not going to like do a big hubbaloo about you. You can just sit there and be quiet for a minute. But we have Joelle. Joelle, welcome both to the Random Chatter Network and to the show. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you.
Doing great. So, I know that you know, you're kind of new to the Random Chatter Network and how we do things here, but we wanted an opportunity to bring you on the show, kind of introduce you to the listeners overall. And so, as we do with our guests here, we wanted to let you kind of steer the show and choose the topics and what we talk about. So, here we go. I'm turning the microphone over to you, and go.
I respectfully decline.
Wow, she didn't even hesitate there. Look at that.
Yeah, no, I had that set up for a long time. Okay, so I literally have no idea what to do because thanks for throwing me into this. So I guess I'll just talk about myself because I'm really good at that.
You think so, that we actually know what we're doing. And that's the, I mean, this is what the show basically is we don't really know what to do. But actually, okay. That is exactly what we want to do this time around. Well, first, let's talk about the show a little bit. And then I want to talk about kind of your history with or your stance on music and Chris's too, and probably mine and Lou's as well, because music is the one thing we've never really had a focus on here on the Random Chatter Network, which is kind of strange because we focus on entertainment in general. And of course, music is one of the core forms of entertainment. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's kind of been untapped on our network.
Can I just insert here that it's been around longer than Star Wars? Can we just talk about that?
We could.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Star Wars started, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far away. So, yeah.
Before music. Got
yes.
you. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So, I'm learning.
I do want to put you on the spot before we go any further, just to kind of to gauge. You can kind of gauge a person by asking which their favorite Star Wars film is. So of the seven movies so far, which is your favorite?
Really?
You didn't know that was coming.
You really quick. I have a really quick question for you.
Sure. No, I can answer before you even ask. Again, the whole psychic thing. Star Wars is not the one with the guy with the pointy ears that says live long and prosper. That's the other franchise.
What is that?
Star Trek?
Oh.
Mr. Spock?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris, you should have warned us, buddy. That's okay.
I feel like Chris is
and now she's going all silent on us.
Yeah, Chris threw you under the bus completely.
He did. Yeah. Well, he just texted me, and I don't think that's the Star Wars movie, Chris.
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yes.
Are you lying to me?
I'm not lying to you.
My favorite Star Wars movie is The Phantom Menace.
Are you saying that because he told you to say that, or because you've actually seen it?
And
we have our answer. Chris is trolling you because he knows that that's my least favorite of the series.
Is it really a Star Wars movie?
Well, you know, Star Wars fans like to debate that quite a bit, actually. it's a Star Wars movie that Star Wars fans seem to be the least proud of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Then it's not my favorite. My favorite is whatever everyone else's favorite is.
I like her. Chris, we're going to keep her.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah.
I fired myself on episode -1, so it's good to see the support.
I did hear that. Yeah. Like, wow, and she's fired already. 20 minutes into the episode. Man.
And I just didn't think she had the authority to fire herself, so I was like, wow.
No, she has taken the authority. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm my own woman, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Lou, for all you know, she may be your boss.
Maybe.
I may promote her. Yeah. See? I don't know. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Cordcast. So this is the first show on the random. It's not actually the first show on the Random Chatter Network to cover music. I actually had a guy named Ash who I used to game with, had a little show called Stereo Chatter. It only lasted for about 3 episodes, and that he just wasn't able to keep up with it anymore. But you know, that's cool. That happens with podcasting. But why don't you and Chris tell us a little bit about what the show is and what you guys cover?
That's Chris, a good question.
Well, it shouldn't be that much of a quandary, Chris. I mean, you've done 2 shows now. You should have figured it out. Right?
Well, our basic intent is to kind of focus on music that isn't really that well known.
Okay.
Joel and I both like music that probably not a lot of people are aware of, so we want to make that known. But we also don't want to focus on one specific genre. We want to, you know, talk about really anything. We actually, for a very brief time, kind of did a podcast on rock music, which didn't really last for various reasons. But this one will be 10 times better, and we want to have artists and bands and hopefully some people that Joelle knows personally.
Cool. Yeah. And kind of adding on to that, I guess what Chris said, you know, bringing new music to new ears. But I guess just to kind of delve into that a little bit deeper, one of my main goals, even with the other podcasts that we did, and especially with this one, is to bring band awareness. Like Chris said, like I have some friends in some bands that are maybe not as well known, or maybe they are as, you know, pretty known. But just kind of increasing awareness to bands or of bands, and just kind of getting their name out there, almost being like a marketing tool. I'm a marketing major. That's how I think. So yeah, I would just say, you know, like I said, new music to new ears.
Awesome. Okay. So getting discovery out there and helping people find things they wouldn't otherwise have come across, which is awesome.
Well, and Chris and I both really like talking about music. Mm-hmm. You know, before we did podcasts, I mean, there were many conversations that we had just about music, and it's really a great outlet for him and I to kind of word vomit about, you know, oh, this album was awesome. Oh, wow. I saw this band. It was horrible. You know, word so vomit. It's really a great outlet for us as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I got to interrupt for a second. I love her already. This is awesome. I'm going to steal that. If you don't mind, word vomit. I think I'm going to come up with a new podcast. I don't even know what the podcast is going to cover, but I think that's just like the perfect title for a podcast, Word Vomit.
You know, that should be a segment of the Cordcast where we just kind of like belch out whatever we think about something that's been on our mind concerning music.
That is actually a decent idea.
Thanks, buddy. That's what I strive for, is decent. Appreciate you.
I knew a girl once who could belch the alphabet. That was like something she was very proud of.
I used to be able to do that.
So, you know, one of the reasons that we've never touched on music that much here on Random Chatter is that I mean, I love music. I have several instruments I try to play. I know Lou is into music, though he and I never really discussed it until recently. Lou, you're into a bunch of stuff I didn't even know you liked, but
Warped Tour.
Yeah. What? Yeah, but like I'm not into the music scene right now. I don't really feel like I have anything to bring. But the two of you actually are like you guys aren't just commenting on stuff you listen to. Like you guys are involved. Joelle, you go to concerts, it seems like, all the time.
Yeah,
that's an understatement.
Yeah, I have been to over 200 concerts since 2013.
Holy crap.
Something like that. I have this really sweet gig. I'm very blessed. My mom works for an airline, and so I have the opportunity to fly. And since I live in just fields of potatoes, you know, our cell tower is actually just a potato. Not a lot of bands come through here. And so I've had this incredible opportunity to travel across the country to go see concerts. And I've always kind of said it's easier to bring one person to a show than the show to the one person. So
right.
It's been super awesome for me to be able to travel. And that, and really, that's the reason I've been able to go to so many shows, because it's like a tour isn't coming here. Okay, I'll just hop over to Portland for the night, you know. So very nice. Blessed when it comes to that.
Great. Well, we're blessed because, you know, we have people bringing this this podcast to the network and to the audience who actually know what they're talking about. And that's, you know, as opposed to us, who we just kind of pretend really hard. But no, this is awesome. And I got to tell you, when I listened to you guys called it the episode -1, you guys did a little beta test.
So bad.
And well, it started a little bit rocky, just because I think you guys probably didn't really have a direction at the very, very beginning of the show. But by like 10 minutes into it, you guys were off, like horses out of the gate. And I mean,
yes, horses.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I didn't. That wasn't even intentional. Oh, my gosh. I swear.
You should have said it once. I appreciated that so much.
I swear that was not intentional. But we'll come back to the horses thing in a minute. But like, once you guys got going, like, it was awesome. I'm like, oh, dude, we are totally putting this show on the network.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
It's all Chris. I'm just the crazy one. Chris is like the structure of everything.
I don't
tell
know
you
if
what.
That's a good thing or not.
If like, we didn't have Chris like on the network, we'd have no structure.
I'm in Bio 100 right now, and it's killing me. But he's the nucleus of the show, right?
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about you. Now, Chris, we've talked about you before, of course, because you've been part of the Random Chatter Network since the recent reboot. You were part of the Force Cast before that. You've been on Echo Base. And, you know, not to set you aside for the moment, but, I mean, our audiences kind of already have a little bit of an idea of where you're coming from and stuff like that, with the possible exception of actual music tastes and stuff. So we're going to come back to the music stuff in a minute. But first, before we do, Joelle, let's get a little bit more about you. We have already established that there's a reason that you have not been invited onto our Star Wars podcast, Echo Base. You have not yet seen Star Wars, which is okay.
Yeah.
We forgive you.
It's all right. Everyone has their flaws, judge. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But are you into, now obviously you're into music, but are you into television? Are you into movies? Are you into anything related to geek culture? I know you're into...
What is geek culture? Is that a thing?
I'm getting told it is.
Or is that just like a... Is that just like a you guys thing?
Oh, trust me. We do not represent the entirety of geek culture.
Okay.
If we did,
geek culture would stand
worried.
Up and riot if... Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I own a TV. How often...
Good start.
Yeah, how often it is used is very controversial.
That's probably a good thing, though.
Yeah, I read a lot, so I read a lot of good. Books. But concerning like TV shows, my favorite TV show is Breaking Bad.
Okay.
One of my best friends growing up is the guy who plays Jesse's cousin, and so it was really cool. He actually went to the high school of my hometown, so it was really cool to kind of
awesome.
See him. Yeah, it was very cool. Aaron Paul, he's very cool. So Breaking Bad, I'm currently obsessed with Once Upon a Time because I'm secretly 6 years old and just can't get out of the Disney phase. Geek culture. I've helped some of my friends make some of their cosplay costumes because I really like to sew.
Hmm.
I cosplayed for the Hunger Games opening night one time. That
really?
Was fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think there's actually any pictures in existence of that. So unfortunately, y'all are going to have to miss out.
Aww.
I know, right?
There's got to be some somewhere.
Lou's already searching. There you go.
Somebody's got them.
My favorite thing to watch, like, hands down, are Nazi and World War II documentaries. I'm a huge history
wow.
nerd.
Okay.
I I don't know. Yeah, like music's my big thing when it comes to entertainment. So
okay. Now, you did mention books. Do you have a favorite genre of book or any particular favorite authors or anything?
I really hate to be a 13-year-old girl right now.
It's okay.
I'm not going to say Twilight. No.
You can say Twilight really, if it's, hey, it's a popular series.
No. I really like post-apocalyptic books. So like Hunger Games, Divergent, stuff like that. I don't know why. I just really, really am into that.
Because post-apocalyptic stuff is awesome.
Yes. Right.
That's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to fit right in.
Yeah. Oh, no, we are all about, we actually had a show dedicated to post-apocalyptic fiction and stuff for a while. Yeah. No, we're totally into that.
Yeah. Like The Maze Runner. I'm almost finished reading that series. I accidentally bought the movie from Redbox because I forgot to return it.
well, that happens.
Yeah. You know, just Joelle things, hashtag. I think that would probably be like my favorite right now. My best friend gave me her favorite book, which is The Storyteller by Jodi Picoult. Reading that. Of course, like Chronicles of Narnia, favorite book series ever.
Okay.
Of course, horse books like The Pony Club, hello, Saddle Club, Pony Pals, Thoroughbred series.
Okay, so let's talk about horses real quick because I did accidentally bring it up earlier. I swear that was not intentional. I wish I could take credit for that. But you are somewhat slightly tangentially interested in horses.
I guess it's sort of. I'm like mildly interested.
I tell you what, we've probably gotten more horse pictures in Slack than any other animal so far.
Yeah. Who did that? Chris, we talked about it.
Probably Chris's fault.
Stop putting so many horse pictures in Slack. I love horses. I have since I was able to cognitively recognize what was going on around me. Mm-hmm. I hold a national record. I was a rodeo queen.
Whoa, back up.
Yeah, his national record?
Yeah.
Most consecutive wins of an all-around championship buckle.
Wow. Championship buckle.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's hard to explain. So
weird's good. That's okay.
Have you guys heard of 4-H?
Yes.
You know what that is?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So in 4-H, my county had a buckle, an all-around buckle, where you competed in three out of fair events. So you didn't touch your horse for any of these. It was horse bowl, which is glorified horse jeopardy, and then public speaking, and then horse judging, which is really kind of complicated to explain, but. And then for in-fair competitions, showmanship, Western or English equitation over fences or Western reining, and then trail. And then you had a personal interview as well as your 4-H book. And that score was combined, and you know, whoever had the highest points won. And I lost it for 5 years. I tried for 5 years and lost it. And then I won it consecutively for 5 years, which was really cool.
Wow.
And apparently it's a state record, and apparently there's like nothing in the nation. No one has consecutively won an all around buckle. That's what they tell me, that like for 5 years. So
wow.
Obviously I'm not Trevor Brazil. Like I haven't won the NFR for 12 or 13 years or whatever, but like when it comes to horse showing, apparently that's the most consecutive.
Yeah. No, you've already made me feel insignificant.
Seriously.
I'm like, I understand some of those terms and not all of them. And wow, that's really cool though. That's really impressive.
Yeah. And then, I'm running for a couple rodeo queen titles coming up, fingers crossed, including Miss Rodeo Idaho, which would be really fun. I've owned my horse. My horse was my, 12th birthday present. I took lessons for 5 years before that. Been to nationals a couple times, been across the country with it. Yeah, it's been fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. Huh.
I'm trying to think of what I got for my 12th birthday present. I probably got like a video game or something.
I definitely didn't get a horse. No.
Well, it's kind of a fun story because, by the time I was 12, I had saved over $1,700 for a horse.
I'm 42 and I still haven't saved $1,700 for anything. So I mean, that explains it right there.
And my very gracious and awesome grandparents said, we don't know a 12-year-old who saved $1,700 for a horse. And so they kind of gifted him to me.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Were there always horses in your family? Was that like a family thing?
No. Well, so I'm interested in a different kind of horsepower. The rest of my family, like my dad and my brother and my mom, are all car people. We have like a 68 Camaro and then like a 54 Ford truck or whatever. And the horse gene actually skipped a generation on my mom's side. My grandma is the same as me, absolutely obsessed. And then my mom, just kind of indifferent. She really loves my horse because he's like the best horse in the world. And then it's me. So kind of, I am the only person in my family, like in my house, that is interested in horses.
Cool. All right.
Well, you would actually get along really well with my current employers. I work for a place called Lock, Stock, and Barrel here in Connecticut, and I work on the power equipment side. We do mowers and that kind of stuff, but the rest of the shop is all equine stuff. They do feed, and they do farm supply stuff, and they're all horse people, and I've never been on a horse, so that's...
What?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, come hang out. Diablo would love to have you.
Wait. Your Diablo? Horse's name is Diablo? I'm not sure how to write
okay,
Diablo.
Okay, now, Joel, you're probably not into video games either, but let me tell you something about Diablo and video games.
Okay.
He's like this, 50 foot tall?
Yeah, something like that.
Demon who, like, spouts, just, like, vomits fire everywhere and destroys planets. So, yeah, Lou, you go ride him.
I'm not sure my first horse experience should be on Diablo.
No, I want my first horse experience to be
really
on, like,
sweet.
Fluffy.
Well, okay,
or
so
Bashful.
His registered name is Caesar's Diablo, but his coloring looks like Caesar's salad dressing. So I knew I couldn't call him Caesar, and so I called him Diablo.
Hmm, okay.
Diablo, okay.
There's a bunch of people who just call him Salad because of Caesar's...
Salad.
Wow.
Horse people, I'm telling you, I swear.
I could ride a horse called Salad, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay with that.
And then if he tosses you off of him, see, tossed Salad?
Yeah.
Yo, yeah, funny.
I can do the puns too. All right, well, let's talk music. Chris, I'm going to let you speak up a little bit here. I know you guys covered this a little bit in the show in your opening episode, though I've not heard episode zero. I've only heard episode -1. But just give us kind of a quick rundown. I know you play some instruments, and give us an idea of what kind of, not necessarily what kind of music the podcast is going to focus on, because I know you're interested in a larger scope of music than just that, but tell us what your musical tastes are.
Oh man. well, without getting too deep into genres, I like rock music. You can spread that out between like heavy rock and some metal, alternative rock, indie rock, pop rock. I like jazz and swing music. I'm a huge fan of Frank Sinatra.
Cool. Good choice.
Let's see. I like a little bit of classical. Recently, I kind of feel like, because a lot of kids that I grew up with in the early 2000s were listening to like pop punk bands, and I was busy at the time listening to like the Backstreet Boys. So,
and you admit that on a podcast.
The first one to laugh at that. That's awesome.
Wow. Okay, you're brave, man.
Yeah, so I kind of missed the whole pop punk phase. Well, recently I've been listening to the new album by Blink-182.
Okay.
And that has since gotten me into another pop punk phase. So I kind of feel like I'm 12 years old again.
Actually, to interject and tell Chris something about himself he doesn't really know, there's this exclusive genre that Chris likes, and one band is in it, and the genre is called Bad. And the band is Muse, and it's really incredible.
Hey, now.
Bad news.
Bad, well, the genre is Bad. The band is Muse. And yeah, so he also likes that genre.
Hmm. There you go.
Muse is a good band.
So bad, Chris. They're awful. I don't know why. You have such good taste, and then you just balls off.
Hey, we all have our guilty pleasures.
That's true.
Yes, but if this band is exclusively a member of, it's not just that they're bad. It's they have their own exclusive subgenre of bad. Oh, I
love
this.
It's a little special, isn't it?
I'm totally going to listen to this show if you guys are going to go at it like that. This is great.
This will definitely be an every time occurrence.
Awesome.
Every episode I have to say something.
Awesome. All right. All right, Joelle, what about you? What are your general music interests?
Okay. I tend to like things with screaming in them. What you define that as, I don't know. Rock, hard rock, metal, hardcore, post-alternative hardcore, metalcore. We can get into whatever. That's generally where it lies. Like Chris, I have a huge appreciation for jazz and classical. Frank Sinatra is one of my favorite singers as well. I like rock. Chris and I actually started talking about a band, or we started talking because of a band called Young Guns, which they're probably a band that we'll talk about a lot on the show, just because we both are mutually obsessed with them. Since I gave Chris crap about Muse, my guilty pleasure is Owl City.
The Fireflies song,
yeah,
Fireflies, right?
Gun. Okay, I don't know. I've been to a bunch of different types of concerts, but usually if I just put something on, it's generally going to have screaming in it.
Huh. Okay.
A little bit heavier than Chris.
We go from screaming to Frank Sinatra. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Good.
You haven't heard Frank's metal phase.
Yeah.
Oh, that is wonderful.
That would be great. Have you guys heard?
I hope there is at least a metal cover band out there that plays Frank Sinatra
There's
songs.
Gotta be. Or
oh,
a
somebody
remix.
Had to have. Yeah.
Let's make one.
Like a metal remix with Frank Sinatra in it. That would be sick.
I mean, I do totally love it when bands do songs that weren't from their original genre and turn it into something different and new. I love that.
Yes.
Some metal band doing Frank Sinatra would be awesome.
Have you listened to Punk Goes Pop?
No.
No, I don't think so.
They're albums that Fearless Record puts out. I think there's 5 or 6 of them. And they hire kind of popular or punk band. They're not really punk bands. There's a whole lot of controversy on that. But they cover generally terrible pop songs, and they make them awesome. It's really super cool. If you're into that, if you're into hearing like really bad pop songs turned really cool punk, then...
What's the name of the band or the group?
It's Punk Goes Pop, and a record label called Fearless Records puts it out, and it's just tons of different bands. Palisades have been on there, Woe Is Me, let's see, Silverstein have been on there, Asking Alexandria, just a bunch of bands that are kind of peaking or rising at that time are
cool.
on there.
I'll have to check that out.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's been cool.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I love covers of any cover that improves the original song or that takes it in a different direction and yet does it well. I'm automatically a fan of that. Like I don't even know that it's a genre as much as a category perhaps, but I love that. On a side note, speaking of like metal, and I guess there's not necessarily screaming, Joelle, you probably wouldn't know this, but have you guys heard Christopher Lee's heavy metal Christmas album?
Yes, I have.
Okay, just wanted to check. Joelle
probably doesn't even know who Christopher Lee is.
Christopher Lee is a really, really old school actor, way before my time. Classically trained and everything, but he played one of the villains in the Star Wars prequel trilogy that was released back in like the early 2000s. He played one of the evil bad guy Sith lords.
Googling, is this guy? This guy was in Lord of the Rings.
Yes, yes, he played Saruman. I have it correct? Yeah.
Side note: there is, if you Google Frank Sinatra metal cover, there's Louis Armstrong and Frank Sinatra sing death metal.
Really?
So you guys have something.
I am so going to check that out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm actually, Chris, you mentioned like jazz and swing. One of the things I recently discovered was swing step. So kind of like swing meets dubstep.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, kind of like techno remixes of swing stuff. It's kind of, I'm a little picky about it, so it's hard for me to find individual songs that I like, but the stuff I like, I really like. So anyway, Lou, you know, you and I have never really talked on the air about our musical preferences. So why don't you tell people what you're into?
We have, no.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a child of, you know, growing up in high school in the 80s and, you know, hair metal and that kind of stuff was back popular in the day. And that was how I grew up on.
Kiss is playing in Boise tonight. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Really?
Kiss is playing Boise tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen Kiss live?
No.
If you've seen them once, you've seen everything you need to see because their shows are exactly the same every time.
Good to know.
I mean, they're a good band to see live. I definitely say everybody should see them at least once. But yeah, every time I see them, it's like, okay, you've done the same stunts in your stage show for the last 30 years. You know, Ace Frehley does a thing where he shoots his guitar and knocks a light out, and the light comes crashing down the stage. I'm like, I saw that 20 years ago. But yeah, you know,
well, they're not getting any younger, Lou. I mean, they can't. It's not like they can start doing acrobatics and stuff. I mean,
that's true. But you know, you don't have to see gigs all the time, the same gimmicks, you know, come on, do something different. But their music is great. They're, you know, obviously a very tight band to listen to. On stage, they're pretty awesome. But yeah, hair metal, that kind of stuff is good for me, you know, through the 90s, you know, into the, you know, grunge stuff that, you know, kind of a little harder. It's funny how you listen to hard stuff now that was hard back in the 80s when I was growing up. It's like, that's really not that hard. And, you know,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
How times have changed and music has changed. But, you know, in today's environment, I do like going to Warped Tour. I do like to hear new bands. I don't get exposed to new music as much as I used to. You know, I think when you leave the college environment, you don't get that exposure anymore. I listen to, you know, podcasts and audiobooks in the car. I don't really listen to the radio anymore. So I'm actually listening to your podcast now to hear new stuff and get ideas for what to listen to.
Yes.
And I'm excited about that. But I'd probably say my favorite band of all time would have to be Rush.
Oh, that's a good choice, Lou.
So, and it doesn't go well with my metal thing, but that is definitely my favorite band of all time.
Sick.
I've seen every tour since Power Windows in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Man, I am so jealous. And see, now they're not going to tour anymore, so that upsets me.
I know. I was hoping for one more, but I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess I'm up. I grew up a little bit after, well, if I've grown up at all, I was growing up shortly after you, Lou. So yeah, I was into the hair metal bands and stuff like that. I'm embarrassed to say.
No, be proud of that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, to be fair, some of the stuff was good. I mean, you look back on the 80s and there's a lot of kind of crap music that came out during that time period, but there was also a lot of good stuff. Even in the realm of pop, there was some decent stuff that came out back then.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird now that stuff that was pop when I was growing up is now considered classic rock. And I'm like, no. Classic rock is like Led Zeppelin.
Myself.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Oh.
No, how could it be classic rock?
Right.
That was what I listened to in high school.
In general, I don't like classic rock, what I consider classic rock. The big exception for me is Pink Floyd. I love Pink Floyd. What else?
Do you like Zeppelin?
I'm not that well versed in Zeppelin. I like Zeppelin. I appreciate and respect Zeppelin, but I'm not, I missed out on the whole classic rock phase. So like I never delved into that as a genre. In fact, I kind of came into Pink Floyd only because they ended up releasing a new album back in the late 80s, early 90s, when Momentary Lapse of Reason came out.
Yeah.
If it hadn't have been for that, I probably would have never gone back and picked up their old stuff. And if Led Zeppelin had released something then, I probably would have gone back and gotten into their stuff more heavily too. But it's never really been a part of my world, but the bits and pieces of it I pick up. Like I like Zeppelin. I can take or leave the Doors. The Stones are good. But most of my listening, I like classical. I cannot stand opera.
What?
Yeah, I can't handle opera at all.
Oh.
I can handle country, but I can't handle bluegrass.
Mm.
There's something about bluegrass that just makes me like I twitch. Like I actually. what else? I love techno. I love pretty much any sort of electronica, but I don't like disco. Let's see what else. I like techno industrial.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Were either you or Lou Nirvana fans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few of the albums. Yep.
I never got into the grunge scene, but I enjoyed Nirvana. I enjoyed Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. But I never like really got into Nirvana.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I liked it. I had their albums, you know, I listened to them frequently, but like I never worshipped at the altar of Nirvana or anything. But right now my thing for music is I like instrumental stuff. Just because I don't have to think about it the way somebody else thinks about it. I can just kind of make up my own thing to it. But if I'm listening to something with lyrics, I want it to be, something lyrically different. I don't want it to be just the cheesy, same old pop crap that, you know, oh, you're my one and only, blah, 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 blah. give me something different. Right now, I just recently found Of Monsters and Men. And I like their stuff lyrically, you know, it's different.
Owl City released two albums, one inspired by the Titanic and one's inspired by the first person to summit Mount Everest.
Really?
And my understanding is that both of those are instrumental. And so I haven't listened to them because I have been in kind of a different music world, as of late, but I think you should check those out. I think those would be super cool.
Absolutely. I'll check those out once we're done recording here. I like what I've heard of Owl City, actually.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm pretty sure it's just him composing. I don't think there's any lyrics, but don't hold me to that.
Nice. I also like Frank Sinatra, just to kind of keep with that theme there. I like kind of the old classics. I like classic jazz, not like smooth jazz, but like the old, Sonny Stitt, Art Tatum, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like Nine Inch Nails. I like Cell Dweller. Kind of the metal meets techno stuff, you know, the techno industrial. I guess that's about it. So it's weird that this is like the first time we've really talked about our musical tastes on the network.
Yeah.
10 years this network has been around. Wow.
It's exciting.
We can always talk about vinyl.
You wear vinyl, Chris?
Joelle not share your appreciation for vinyl?
Let's just say my obsession with vinyl is equivalent to her obsession with horses.
Are you a 5-time national champion of vinyl something?
I wish I was.
I think Joelle wins there, Chris.
Point for Joelle, yes.
Yes. It's just not efficient, you know? If you just want to go and like go for a run, you're not going to put a record player on wheels.
Well,
and
that's why
follow you.
Chris, I will pay you money. I will
download code.
I will pay you cash money, Chris, if you go for a run with a record player.
I don't know if that would be so safe for my record and the turntable.
It'd make a good YouTube video, Chris.
That's true. It would be a meme. I appreciate the difference in audio quality. As someone who is like just has a very basic understanding of audio engineering, I get that and I appreciate that. But my issue is I'm too OCD. If it's digital, I know it's always going to be exactly the same. If it's a record, I will, if the more I like the record, I will avoid listening to it because I don't want it to age. I don't want, you know, the needle to damage the record over time. I mean, you know, they deteriorate. Mm-hmm. And so that's counterintuitive to me. If I like something, I want to listen to it more, not less.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
But I also appreciate, I think this is kind of Chris's notion of, to me, I've always looked at a vinyl as kind of a piece of the record, you know, kind of as the record, not as in the actual vinyl, but the music, you know, the recording, the album itself. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I am, yeah, I don't know. I like having it. I'm kind of like you, Eric. I kind of like having it right there.
Yeah.
My big thing is I hate, especially like I can get past reissues of things that have been out for years, but I hate when I buy a brand new album on vinyl and it doesn't come with either a CD or an MP3 download code.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that should be pretty much an unspoken rule. And funny enough, Muse does that.
Hmm.
Their latest one might have had a MP3 download, but I know I didn't. I haven't bought that one yet, so I can't attest. But their other ones didn't come with a code, so it was just the record, and that's very annoying.
Hmm.
No, Chris. I'll actually have to go against you here because I am the person that said, okay, when I buy a DVD or a movie, I want it to have the iTunes code so I can have it there. I probably never watched the DVD, but I'll have it to collect it. But you know, I want it, you know, digitally to watch. But in terms of albums, I mean, you know, if you have the album, that's what you want. You want the vinyl. That's what you get. You shouldn't get the code. I think it's too archaic. And I'm going to go against you here and say, you know what? It serves you right if you bought the vinyl album. That's all you're going to get.
You don't deserve the code.
That's your punishment.
Yeah.
That's for a guy who grew up when we did have vinyl. That's what you bought, you know? And then I remembered 8-tracks and, you know, we had cassettes and finally got CDs. And it's like, oh my God.
You know,
I bought the album 4 times already now.
What was funny, Lou, and I'm assuming this is the same for you, but growing up, people would, like, I'd be together with my friends and they would put a record on and, like, you'd sit around the record player and the speakers and just hang out, like, listening to the album. And like looking through the inserts and stuff that was in the album cover, and like it was a more of a social thing then, and now not only is the social aspect of listening to an album different, but you don't even necessarily listen to whole albums anymore. I mean, I'm sure that Chris and Joelle, for you, given the degree to which you guys are interested in music, it might be different. But I know that today a lot of it's just singles. Like predominantly, you don't have as many artists, it seems like, developing albums as albums as much as they are just focusing on individual singles.
It depends on what genre you're talking
about.
Well,
that's true.
For sure.
That's true.
For sure. Like what you hear on the radio. I mean, Selena Gomez isn't like, I'm going to write a banger album and people are going to listen to the entire thing. Selena Gomez goes, okay, my 12 writers, I need 2 songs that are going to be played constantly for 1.5 years.
Right.
You know, but I guess is that the deeper you go into those, into subgenres and kind of more of the direction you move into Chris and I, like the stuff that we're into, for sure you get bands who craft an entire album. And on episode -1, Chris and I kind of talked about that of Beartooth, like Beartooth's most recent album. I said, don't listen to singles, listen to the entire thing, because that's when you're really going to get a feel for it.
Right.
Yep.
So it really kind of depends on the genre, I would say.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I didn't actually have a whole lot to like planned out to talk about on this episode. So I've run out of topics. You guys have anything else to throw in here? I got the obligatory crickets.
I know something that I wouldn't mind doing.
Okay.
So, I know you guys haven't listened to episode 0 yet, but one thing that Joel and I had a quick discussion segment where we talked. I asked some questions to her, and we both had answers to them. And I can ask you guys a couple of those questions.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Now I know what it feels like. Okay.
Yeah, it's not
I vote for Eric going first.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Okay, so the first question is, who are your three favorite bands or artists? And it doesn't have to be your top three. It can be
Wow.
Isn't that just cruel?
It is.
Ugh.
And you know, the thing is, it's a common enough question that you kind of feel like everybody should know their answer. And yet nobody ever does. Okay, I'm going to say Cell Dweller. I think his part of me wants to say Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, but I like Clayton's use of analog noise, if you will, fashioned into instruments. He has a kind of a unique way of doing that in the industrial scene, I think. Second, I would probably skip over to Nora Jones. I know that's
interesting.
Probably a big jump, but and I didn't really become a fan of hers until she was probably three or four albums in. And then I was reading something on the internet and it hit me that she had won more Grammys than like twice as many Grammys as she had albums released. And I thought, okay, I at least have to listen and you know, see what it's about. And I got hooked. I love her voice. I think there are some voices that just like I don't know how to describe it. She just has like one of the sexiest voices I've ever heard. Like I could listen to Nora Jones all day long. And on top of that, she's a good songwriter. She's a good lyricist. She's a good instrumentalist. So that would be my second one. And third one, it's a little dated, but part of me wants to say Vangelis.
Mm.
I'm a real big fan of the Blade Runner soundtrack. And from there, I kind of got into some of his other soundtracks, and I really like kind of ambient, atmospheric music that just kind of feels like it's taking you somewhere else. And it's almost less about the music and the notes and the melody, and it's more about an experience, and it takes you away from where you are at the moment. Those would be my three.
Okay. What about you, Lou?
Well, I already said Rush was my favorite band of all time, so that's definitely number one.
Nope. You have to pick three more.
Three more. Okay. Two or three are harder to choose from.
She catches on quick on this whole putting people on the spot thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, she is. Wow. Okay. So aside from that, see, I'm buying time. I would probably have to say in that top three or four here, other ones, Motley Crue, probably.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just because, you know, it's what I grew up with. I mean, even back to, you know, the original album, you know, Live Wire and some of the stuff, that album was great. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. What? What are you laughing at me for? Jeez. Give me a complex. I really love their stuff. I've seen them live a bunch of times. They're just a fun band to see. It's great when they do Heat Miser in, you know, July. Christmas Carols in July is pretty fun. And I'm trying to think, other than that, I mean, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
I'm thinking. I'll probably have to say Guns N' Roses.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, next question. And I don't think I'll do
there's
all
more?
Of this because we're... Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, keep them coming. It's all good.
There will be two more.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so what is... And it doesn't have... You don't have to answer both of these just because we're pressed for time. Tell us about either your best or worst concert experience, or both.
No.
Best or worst concert experience. Okay.
No.
Whatever is the more interesting story.
Mine is not appropriate for anything resembling a family podcast.
Can you say who you saw?
I had, it was floor seats at a Billy Joel concert.
Oh my.
Yeah, moving on.
Wow. Okay. Was that the best or the worst experience?
There's a lot that people don't know about me. At a concert, probably the best experience. The worst experience I think was I got suckered in by my girlfriend, might have even been the same girlfriend at the time, to go to an Alabama concert.
Oh boy.
Wow.
And while the performance wasn't bad, the people running the soundboard had the volume turned way, way, way up, way too high. And I felt like my ears were going to bleed. And of course I can't leave because I'm there with my girlfriend and her mom who I was trying to impress. So I was just deaf for the next week.
I think that's the craziest thing, how concerts can be too loud.
Yeah.
You think about like, oh yeah, it's going to be like loud. It's going to be awesome. And then you go and you're like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. I think that's the craziest thing.
When you can actually feel it.
A lot on where you stand or where you sit too in the show.
Yeah.
And how it sounds, how loud it is, how soft it is. I went to school in Rochester, New York for a few years, and the Rochester Memorial Auditorium, if it's still there, it was a small, like 10,000 seat arena. It was all general admission. So we'd go there early, get first in line, run up, hold your place in line at the fence there for, 2 hours before the first band came on. And then, just hold yourself there for the next couple hours until the main band comes on. But if you're right in the middle, the sound was awesome and it wasn't too loud. It was loud, but it wasn't, ear killing. And if you got pushed to the side in front of the amps, it was like, oh my God, now I got to move because I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And it sounded all distorted. So it really depends on where you stand.
Did you say Rochester?
Yeah, New York.
Have you been to Water Street? Is that what it's called?
No, I was there back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. Because it's a venue that's been there for a while, and I went to a show there once.
Went to the House of Guitars, though. That's a pretty good place.
Oh, hey, speaking of musical performances in New York, guys, when we do the New York Comic Con thing and we've got that Saturday, we need to see about getting Blue Man Group tickets.
That'd be interesting.
I love the Blue Man Group.
What is this thing I casually wasn't invited to?
You are more than welcome to come attend New York Comic Con.
Oh, pity invite. That's the worst.
No.
Noticed have tickets to Comic Con on Saturday, so...
Yeah, no, you. This is not a pity invite. You were not part of the network when we were initially making the arrangements for this. Everyone is.
Wow,
man,
you will too.
Sass,
tell ya.
Chris is just like, you guys don't even know.
Come on, hey, hop on a flight and come hang out.
When is it? This Saturday?
No. Oh. October sometime, early October.
I think it's. Okay. Around the 15th or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in like Portland. That. Sorry, I'm seeing Amity Affliction.
Oh.
No, it's 6th through the 10th.
Jokes.
Oh,
let's hang out.
Well.
No, she's busy that weekend too.
I had my dates wrong.
Yeah, Chris, you might want
to. You were gonna fly out to Portland with me and see Amity on that weekend. Remember?
The correct answer is yes, Chris.
You can pay for my plane ticket or have your mom get me a deal.
It's $20. Come on.
For a plane ticket?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No, it is not $20 for a plane ticket.
Yeah, when you get a guest pass from someone whose mother works for the airline.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Chris. I didn't think about that.
Get you an ID90 ticket, you just go.
All right, but what's the next question?
Even if it was free, he wouldn't hang out with me, so it doesn't even matter.
Chris,
that's why you should come to Connecticut Sunday. We'll go to the Warped Tour. Anyway, before you move along, I haven't answered that question yet.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I will step in and say thanks for, just sidetracking.
Well, no, I thought you were talking about Rochester and seeing...
Okay, Lou?
You're right.
Is he on this podcast?
My best concert experience was probably seeing Guns N' Roses on New Year's Eve in Miami. Hmm.
Oh, snap.
Early 90s. That was pretty fun. And my worst concert experience is probably a show I never saw.
What?
Yeah, well, we were in New Haven, and we were at a pizza place, and two doors down is Toad's Place, and the Rolling Stones played unannounced. And we were going to go to Toad's Place. We said, ask a pizza first.
Oh.
And it was one of those deals where they locked the doors, nobody in, nobody out, Stones played. It was when they were practicing in Connecticut before the Steel Wheels tour, and they wanted to thank Connecticut, so they did an unannounced show at this small bar called Toad's Place. I was like, oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, so I missed that one.
Man.
That's wrong.
That's
before I go to the next question, I'm surprised for the worst concert experience, you guys didn't bring up the little group we saw after Celebration.
I forgot.
Oh, my
that.
Gosh. I had somehow successfully blocked that from my mind.
That was
emotional
rough.
Suppression is incredible. Isn't
no
it?
Kidding.
That was pretty rough. Yeah.
Oh, it was a little concert that was set up outside in a kind of a patio area of an outdoor shopping mall in Anaheim. And the musicians were all good, but the vocalist was, I don't even remember what the issue was. I just remember it was painful and like it was conversation
sure was
stopping.
Vocalist.
We couldn't get through a conversation. Yeah. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
And we had to hear that. It because we were sitting down eating dinner.
Yeah. We were like, not near the, like, right at the concert thing. It was a completely different thing. We were actually up on a second level overlooking the concert, I think. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get away from it. It was just, like, ear-splittingly bad. I don't know what kind of barn animal he was trying to imitate, but I don't think... Oh.
Mm. Barnyard animals, Eric.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris, for...
Well, if it helps, I literally just now remembered it, so...
Yeah,
I had to bring it up.
Zero.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thanks.
Jeez.
Okay.
All right. So the last question is an album that means a lot to you and why?
All right, Lou, it's your turn to go first.
Oh, thanks. God, no narrowing down to an album.
Yes.
Album that means a lot to me and why?
Can I be mean? Chris, can I be mean?
Yes.
Okay, it can't be from the three or the four bands that you mentioned, Lou.
Oh, you are just evil.
Wow.
You are just evil, evil, evil. Okay, well, okay. I have one.
Chris said I could be mean. Come on.
Yes, he did. Thanks, Chris.
Well, it is par for the course for
you
in
New York, Chris. God, I would have to say... Well, okay. Favorite album is in favorite physical piece of something. I will say that. So I'll kind of cheat a little bit. So my favorite physical piece of music is my original soundtrack from Star Wars because it was the first vinyl I owned.
That's cool.
So it's not something I listen to a lot. Not something that, you know, it's not my favorite music to listen to, but it's my favorite piece of music, physical piece.
That's
and
neat.
Because it was the first one I ever had purchased.
I have a record like that too, so that's neat.
Okay, you're up, Eric.
No, I'm still scrolling through my iTunes. I'm only up to E so far.
That's cheating.
How is it cheating? It's called it's reference.
That, no, it's, no. Oh. It's okay, I had to look up mine. So I cheated too.
Well, see.
I have multiple albums that mean a lot to me, so I guess I can just get attached to music easily.
Wow. And it has to be one of the ones I haven't picked already, so...
Yep.
No Cell Dweller, no Pink Floyd. No. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Here's one I could do.
Now, wait. Here's one I could do. It does not sound like this is my all-time favorite.
Well, no, my all-time favorites were already taken, and I can't pick those. Jonathan Colton. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a more modern, less parody-ish Weird Al.
Oh, excellent.
I went on, a friend of mine was really into his music. He's seen him a bunch of times, along with another group that he follows, because, you know, they did a lot of bar and pub performances and clubs and stuff like that. I had been following for years and years and years. And, he does a cruise every year. Jonathan Colton has a Joco cruise, and this was the fourth year they were doing it. And my wife and I wanted to hook up with our friends that we hadn't seen for a long time, who now live out in Wisconsin, and we were looking to go on another cruise ourselves. And we said, yeah, we'll go on this thing. And I'd heard a couple of his songs. He did the song that closed out a real popular video game called Portal that I was a big fan of. And I'd heard one or two songs, and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, whatever. You know, we won't do the concert things necessarily. We'll go hang out. And so we went on this cruise, and I became a huge fan of this guy and his music. So I'm going to say Joco Looks Back, which is kind of like his best of album. Not only is he a good musician, but he's also a really good lyricist, and his songs are creative. He has a song about, and it's like a really sweet, slow song. It's a like legitimately a moving ballad, and it's about a kraken who lives under the ocean, and he's lonely, and you know, he wants to go up and give all the boats a hug, but he can't, because when he does, he breaks them, and you know, everything he touches, he breaks, and it's lonely. And he has another song about it's called You're My Moon, and it's about Pluto, which is now no longer classified as a planet, and it's moon, it's been determined that these two bodies, Pluto and its moon, actually revolve around each other. Instead of the moon rotating around or revolving around Pluto, they just kind of spin in each other's gravity. And he kind of turns that into like a love song. He's got one about kind of like this bouncy, upbeat, happy song called Blue Sunny Day that's actually about a vampire who finally works up the nerve to step out in the sunlight and then, of course, gets fried into ash. And
yeah. Does anyone else feel a Dementor slowly sucking the happiness from him? Is that that's what I feel like right now?
Well, no, it's good stuff. You should listen to some of it, at least.
I've heard only one of his songs before.
Probably either Code Monkey or Your Brains, the zombie song.
It was Code Monkey.
Yeah, Code Monkey's good. Skullcrusher Mountain, a love song about a mad scientist and the girl that he's captured. Okay, anyway.
You dig. Well done, guys. That was difficult for Chris and I. So maybe not Chris. Mm-hmm. It was difficult for me. So that was good. And especially since I was mean, I appreciate you playing along. Thank you.
Hey, if you weren't mean, by the end of the episode, I was actually going to fire you anyway. So
good.
This works out well.
Hey, I already fired myself, so you can.
Hey, don't worry. There will be paybacks later. So.
Yeah. And there will probably be many firings. I mean, Lou's been fired 3 times this week alone. So
Yeah. And yeah, I still got to go on a cruise. So yeah.
Yeah.
Rub
it in.
I get to bring it up every chance I get. You know, come
on. You went on a cruise?
Uh-oh.
So, Disney Cruise Lines now has a Star Wars Day at Sea, and they launched it earlier this year.
You just lost her. She's like tuned out.
It's only one day of an 8-day cruise, and Lucasfilm contacted the website that we were podcasting for at the time and offered a free, all-expense-paid 8-day cruise. Complimentary spa day, complimentary $300 Wi-Fi package, airline tickets to and from Florida,
the limo from the airport to the port.
Limo from the airport to, yeah. And I couldn't go because of work, which was ridiculous, because then afterwards I found out that I actually could have been able to go. My job sucks. Anyway, so yeah, Lou was able to go and has mentioned it once or twice since then.
Just a couple times.
A day.
I mean, I feel like I got to give them, you know, publicity for it. So, you know.
Yeah, that's totally what it is. It is not at all you rubbing it in our face.
It's marketing ROI, Lou. You got this. You're doing great.
Exactly. Yeah, see?
Boy. Okay.
Sorry. Well, I suppose we should probably wrap the episode up. We're at about an hour long, so that's it. We don't have to find anything else to rant about or to ramble about.
Word vomit. We talked about this.
Yeah, that's right. Word vomit about it.
I love that. We seriously need to, like, one of us needs to go register that domain name now before someone else listens to this episode and registers it.
Yeah.
Word vomit. That's awesome.
Thanks.
It's a great name for a cover band too. I know.
It's going to be my only good contribution to this entire thing. So.
Well, but you've already contributed more than the rest of us combined. All right. Well, that's it. So once it goes live, which I'm hoping will be pretty soon here, you can listen to Cordcast. And if you're looking to search for it, that's C-H-O-R-D-C-A-S-T. It's Cord as in a musical cord, not as in like an umbilical cord or something, because that would be both gross and not a very interesting podcast. That's the response I was looking for. Okay, so look for that soon on the Random Chatter Network. We'll go ahead and wrap things up here, except I'm so brain fried I can't remember our normal closing. Find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. Twitter is just Random Chatter. Each of us are also on Twitter. Chris, you are at The Curse of Chris. Lou is Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I. I am at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. And Joelle, where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at the letter X and then Joelle, J-O-E-L-L-E, May, M-A-E.
All right. What else here?
The Cordcast has a Twitter, too.
Skip the rest of it. Oh, the Cordcast does. I assume it's Cordcast.
Actually, I think it's The Cordcast.
I don't know either.
You should find that out before officially launching.
The Cordcast.
Yes, and we got to set you guys up with an email address, too, which when we do, it will be cordcast@randomchatter.com. And again, that's C-H-O-R-D. So once the show goes live, the email address will also be live. And you can get in contact with both Chris and Joelle that way as well. So that's it. The music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist, written and performed by Blue Stolly, and Asilius is set in sounds. All trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Thank you, Joelle, for joining us tonight. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And that's it. Take care. We'll see everybody next week.